So I thought Bo was a handsome dog. I thought he was adorable, and I thought he was smart because he could roll down the window. So I thought, he'd be a great therapy dog because I know what everything that he does for me.
Also, turns out that we all end up with pets that are like us, and my wonderful and perfect dog had a serious anxiety problem of his own.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Hinken.
And I'm Laura Wexler. This week on the podcast, Good Dog, Bad Dog, and how sometimes you can't tell the difference between the two. Before we get started, we want to thank Park School of Baltimore, independent co-ed K through 12 school in North Baltimore. So this first storyteller, Lynn McDonald, is a nurse. She's like a nurse and then some. She teaches and she heads up a program at Hopkins. So she works all day as a nurse. And then, as you'll hear in the story, she takes her dog back on her free time to visit patients. So take a listen to the story from Lynn McDonald.
As a young child, I always wanted a dog. And I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So hear the accent. And my mom always said that she was allergic to dogs. So I wasn't able to bring my, to get a dog. And, but she would go to work and I would sneak these dogs into the house just to see if she was really allergic, the scientific testing early. And lo and behold, she didn't sniffle, she didn't sneeze, she didn't anything. So I thought, okay. And I just realized she just feared dogs. I'm like, okay. So I accepted that, and I said, well, life will go on. So several years later, I moved down to the United States, moved to Baltimore. I got actually 4 degrees, and I have a husband and, child, son. And I said, I'm ready for a dog now. And so my husband said, yeah, you can go ahead and get a dog. And he goes, but they're a lot of work. I'm like, oh, okay. So I headed to the SPCA, and I really wanted a rescue. So I went there, and I was specifically looking for an out-of-hound, which was on the website. And I went there for this dog, and it was a lot of barking and screaming and everything going on. But then there was this, I call him a Heinz 57. He was a mixture of a shepherd, hound, terrier. He was beautiful. And he sat there, his old 10-month self, and he sat there and he said, pick me, with his big, big eyes, pick me, pick me. And I said, I want that dog. He's adorable. And I thought he was handsome. So, of course, and handsome in French means beau. And so I named him Beau. And Beau and I went everywhere. We went on walks, we went on jogs, we went to dog parks, and then we also went to take my son to school. So I'd bring Bo into the car, and Bo would, he would sit in the front seat, and he would, he was excited, and so I'd roll the window halfway down, and I was driving, and then all of a sudden I'd look over, and the window's all the way down, and I'm like, oh, new car, and I thought, I'm not sure what's going on here. And so I rolled it back up halfway, and it was down again. And I'm like, what's going on here? Didn't realize the dog was doing it. So Bo was actually hitting the buzzer, and he was going down. And as we're driving, so I said, fine, let's leave it down. And, he was like this, and his flap ears flapping in the wings. And people were waving and blowing kisses. I'm like, oh, my gosh, thank you. Didn't realize it wasn't me. It was actually Bo. They love Bo. So I thought Bo was a handsome dog. I thought he was adorable. And I thought he was smart because he can roll down the window. So I thought, he'd be a great therapy dog because I know what everything that he does for me. So I thought that was a great idea. And I knew there was a colleague of mine that started a therapy program at Hopkins. So I thought, great, wonderful. So I went for the training, and he was smart, so it only took him 3 days to sit down, lay down, stay, leave it, everything. He did really, really well with that. And so I took him in. He was ready. We went to the evaluation, and we got there, and I swear Bo looked around and said, people. I can kiss this person, I can kiss this person, is this okay? I can kiss this one. And he was just all over the place. And I thought, oh my gosh, great, wonderful, I'm going to fail. But actually, no, they thought Bo was wonderful and he passed with flying colors. He was the easiest dog in the world. I loved my Bo. So he loved to go to work. When I was at home, there, you know, he saw the yellow vest, he saw the orange backpack, and he was ready to go to work. He was like, yeah, let's go to work. So anytime I took him into work, and I work at Johns Hopkins, we would go to the medicine unit, and the physicians there said, yeah, he's welcome to come up on our unit. The only thing is he has to come to the doctor's lounge because we need therapy too. And I thought it was wonderful. So they pet him, and they're hugging him. It was wonderful. There is one of the cute stories or wonderful stories is we were asked to go to another part of the hospital, and Bo and I went up to the to that unit, and the facilitator's with us, and you know they've got many things in place, a lot of precautions. So, you know, we sanitize, we put blankets down, you know, it's the whole nine yards. So we were going to each room, and this facilitator would ask the patient, do you want to see, do you want a dog to visit you? And they say, yes, you know, so we'd go in that room, or somebody say, no, not today, and that was fine. But then there was one patient, and her name was, I'll call her Mary. And Mary couldn't, she couldn't move her arms, her legs, and she couldn't talk. But she turned her head toward the door, and she kind of opened her mouth and smiled. And I said to the facilitator, we're going in that room. We're going in that room. And he said, fine. So we sanitized. We walked in the room and brought Bo. We took the chair. We put a blanket on the chair. I sanitized her hand. And I said, Mary, would you like to pet Bo? Would you like to give him a treat? And she just smiled because that's how she said hello, thank you and yes. So she smiled big. And so pushed him up there. And again, she couldn't move her arms. Like, this woman, who apparently couldn't move, somehow lifted her arm just a little bit. And I guided it, and I just held it up high. And I put a treat in Bo's paw. In her hand, sorry. Yeah, Bo just, yeah. That would have been funny. And she just smiled. She smiled with her eyes. And the provider came in, the nurse manager came in, everybody was misty and looking like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful, this is wonderful. And she enjoyed it, and we just had a wonderful time spending time with her. As Laura mentioned, my role is coordinator of a cervical cancer program. It's a passion of mine. I enjoy screening women for cancer. And one of my, when I was visiting the hospital without Bo, I was consulted to see a patient. And I'll call her Jane. And Jane was a 25-year-old young girl who's dying, who they wanted to rule out cervical malignancy. And so they asked me to come see her. So I said, fine, I'll see her. So I went up to Jane's room, and she was in the room, and she looked kind of despondent, sad. Her mother was there. They were from a southern state. Her brother was there. And she was getting physical therapy. And but she looked like she was really eager, trying to do this physical therapy. So I walked in the room and I said, hello, I just want to let you know that I'm here to see you. I was asked by the team to see you, and we talked a little bit more. And I said, but this is important that you're getting physical therapy. I know this is a really weird question, but do you like dogs? And she said, I used to train dogs for a living. And I thought, okay. I said, well, I'll be back, because this is important. I'll come back in, you know, maybe this afternoon or tomorrow, because I knew she was still going to be there. So I went to the desk, and I called the team. I said, look, you know, I looked over her history, and I talked to the patient. I really think that she could benefit from seeing a therapy dog. And they said, yeah, that'd be a fantastic idea. I said, okay. So then I got in my car, I went home, because we typically visit the hospital once a month, and this afternoon was going to be my time to visit the hospital. So went home, got Beau, vest, you know, backpack, we're ready to go. We get back to Hopkins, and I walked in and said, Jane, and she's like, hello. And I says, I brought a friend, and here comes Beau. And this despondent young girl smiled ear to ear. It was beautiful. Her mother smiled. Her brother smiled. Everybody was smiling. And so we got the room all ready. And so we sanitized. We put a blanket down on the bed. And she spent so much time with Beau. And she's hugging him and rubbing him. And she'd stop rubbing for a second to talk to me. And Beau would do this, like, to get me to, you know, dogs. You understand how dogs are. And so it was wonderful. And then she decided to pull out the pictures. She says, I want to show you the dogs that I used to train. And she showed me all these pictures and said, oh my gosh, wait a minute. There is a dog with a yellow vest like Beau's. She goes, oh yeah, I started a pet partner therapy program in my home state. And it was wonderful. We had a wonderful visit. I think the beauty of this for me is that I have a passion for cervical cancer screening. I love to screen women and help women, and that I've been doing for a very long time. And then I have the opportunity to bring my dog, another love, into the hospital. And as nurses, we're known as healers, we're known as comforters. And to have a dog who is a complement and emotional support is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I just thought, if I can bring a little bit to these patients and let them experience the unconditional love, this is all worth it. And thank you.
I think I would always want a dog with me if I were in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, that would just be, it really would, just thinking about it already makes my
heart. Have we talked on the podcast about Gidget?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I lost my dog this past spring. It was my first time, like, losing a dog since I was a kid. And that shit is hard. Yeah.
How are you doing with that?
Okay. I don't want another dog for right now.
Oh, you don't?
But I will tell you for right now that the people at the pet ER in, if you're listening in Maryland, they're off the Beltway. They're on the hill.
They're not a sponsor, by the way.
They're not, but I'd love for them to be, because I brought her in. They knew that we had to put her down. And they gave her donuts and cantaloupe and ice cream. It was like basically everything in the employee break room. And then I held her, and then she passed.
How come you don't want to get another dog? Seriously.
Because, yeah, I just don't, it just hasn't, I haven't been moved to do it.
Yeah.
Gidget really found me.
Yeah.
Although I did almost steal another dog this past week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're back to your old tricks.
I didn't mean to, but it was a puppy that ran in the road, but it actually, I actively looked for its owner, and it was a mechanic. It was the mechanic's puppy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I should have milked that for some sort of service.
How many other dogs did you steal or almost steal?
Well, I think it coincided with my pregnancies.
Yes. So other people lick rocks. You were stealing dogs.
Well, I also licked rocks.
Yeah, that's true. You covered all your bases.
I did all of the tropes. I think three.
Yeah.
And only one stuck.
All right. So before we get on to this next dog story, we want to thank Baltimore Magazine. You can find them at baltimoremagazine.com or on the newsstand, and you can check out their weekly podcast, Local Flavor Live, which is about the dining scene in Baltimore.
We also want to thank Golden West, which is a restaurant located in Baltimore in Hamden on the Avenue. They're delicious, friendly, and fashion forward.
So this next storyteller, Melissa Jenks, she has a story about how it's almost like, what are those, what's the kind of story when, like, I sell something to buy you a ring, but you've cut off your finger to buy
me. Gift of the Magi.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
This is almost a little bit of a Gift of the Magi kind of story.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we go back to what your illustration? Wait, I sell something.
Well, I sold something to buy you a ring,
yeah,
but you've cut off all your fingers to help me. So the ring, isn't that how it works?
Well, maybe. I think you're like conflating
Saul
and the Gift of the Magi.
Right, that's an extreme version. In any case, let's have a listen to the story about when Melissa Jenks gets a dog to help her mental health and hijinks ensue.
So when I was in my 20s, I had a period of time where I was really depressed and really anxious, and my life was not what I expected it to be when I was that age, or really at any point. And I really was just paying attention to the daily tasks of living, but my life was out of sync with everybody else, and I didn't have a lot of the routines and things, and I didn't like interacting with my friends and peers because I felt like my life was not what it was supposed to be, and just not the same as them. And so one of the things that I did was to get a dog as the best antidepressant that I have ever had. And Gandalf was supposed to add structure and joy to my life. He was going to make me have to get up at 6 a.m. to take him for walks regularly. He was going to be great in all sorts of ways. And turned out that when he got home that he was the dog with the bladder of steel, who instead of making me get up would crawl in bed with me and make snuggling in bed better and sweet and longer, which was a different kind of treatment for my depression and great as he turned out. He was wonderfully energetic. Also turns out that we all end up with pets that are like us, and my wonderful and perfect dog had a serious anxiety problem of his own. So we ended up after I got, he really did work as an antidepressant for me and was wonderful, but we ended up about 7 months after he came to live with me, a wonderful product of the SPCA as well, at the doggy therapist, whose website was www.dogswithissues.com. So, he'd been recommended by the vet, but I also had a family friend who had to bring their dog there too. So, you know. But Gandalf, we drove out to this horse farm in Moncton, and I was told that what I had was a dog that was really wonderful 95% of the time, but was unpredictably anxious and aggressive around food, around other things, and due to the unpredictableness of the predictable state of this, that she really thought that what I should do was put him down. Which, because someday, with this dog that I loved so much and was so devoted to, he was going to seem like the calm and perfect dog, I would let my guard down and something awful would happen. I could not do this. He had mental health issues. I had mental health issues. We needed to learn to work on them together. I wasn't going to give up on them. But as a true Harry Potter reader, it was probably the best thing she could have said to me, because when he got older later on in life, I never let my guard down and I always strived for constant vigilance. And but he was sweet and supportive and crazy. I nicknamed his evil twin Fladnag as the Gandalf backwards. And whenever he came out to visit with the snarling dog, we went to the vet because there was something wrong with him. My dog got diagnosed for everything so much earlier in any process. I cannot tell you how many urinary tract infections and bursitis in his shoulder and sores and things he got treated for, because he snarled at me when he was in pain, and he was the poster dog for let sleeping dogs lie, because he was a soldier sleeping on alert. But he was also my sweet, wonderful, fabulous family and wonderful dog who ate dragged stalks of kale out of the garden and munched on them happily, would steal broccoli from the counter, eat watermelon, lamb chops whole too. He's definitely a carnivore, but loved all of that. And part of that process was that he ended up being on Prozac and an antacid, because Prozacs make dogs and people more susceptible to anti-inflammatories. And since that he was treated for bursitis in his shoulder, he ended up with a GI bleed, so he had to be on antacid and all these different things. So we would take, he took, I would joke that someday I was going to write a book called Peanut Butter and Prozac in the Morning, because Gandalf took peanut butter and Prozac in a little ball every morning very happily and was a happy, wonderful, tromping along, best vegetable eating, providing the support that he knew I needed. He would find me when I disappeared somewhere in the house and come and get me and react joyfully every time he saw me, unless he was returning to the house, and then he just checked to make sure all of his toys were in the right place. But he was a perfect companion and antidepressant as we treated our mental health together.
You know, Melissa actually used to walk that dog near my house. And I just remember it being a sweet dog.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't cross that dog.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I love the moment in the story where, you know, the veterinarian said, look, you've got to put this dog down. And she's like, no way. You know, no way. Like, the identification she had with the dog is like, you know, obviously what you think is like, no one's going to put me down because I'm damaged or imperfect right now, you know.
All right, so we final question I know you all want to know the answer to is Laura ever going to get a dog?
Oh my God. And we are actually thinking about it.
I mean, that will melt your heart, I'm going to tell you.
But no, it,
like,
I just
ice castles are in there.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. I'm interested in thinking about it. How about that? That's a step forward. Before we go, we want to thank The Wine Source at 3601 Elm Avenue in Hamden. Check us out at stoopstorytelling.com. Leave us a review at Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast content. We'd love to see you at a live show. And we want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing. See you next week here at the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. Bye.